Looking for a new sports show?
So my wife and I go to the movies because you have to go opening weekend.
Yeah, I was with my boys, so he got us right up to the front of the line of this new club.
So I'm stuck watching my sister's dog again. He's throwing up all night.
2.5 games back in the standings, I feel like the Mets are one big bat away from competing. Imagine that. A sports show that's about sports. The Joe Fan Show. Are you fan enough?
Welcome to the Joe Fan Show with your host, Clayton Hamilton.
Greetings, sports fans. My name is Clayton Hamilton, and you're listening to the Joe Fan Show, coming to you live from fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, the greatest city in the world, right here on the home of Vegas sports, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Let's check the headlines. Barcelona used goals by Messi and Luis Suarez to beat Real Madrid 3-0 this morning and move 9 points clear of Atletico atop the table in La Liga. They are now 14-3 on the season with a goal differential of plus 38. The Nationals have finalized a deal with first baseman outfielder Matt Adams on a one-year deal worth $4 million. The 29-year-old hit .274 last season with a career-best 20 home runs and 65 RBI with the St. Louis Cardinals and the Atlanta Braves. And the Toronto Maple Leafs center Austin Matthews will be reevaluated by team doctors after morning skate today. He could be in the lineup as early as tonight versus the Rangers. The Calder Trophy winner has been out since December 9th with concussion-like symptoms. The Maple Leafs are scheduled to play your Golden Knights at T-Mobile Arena on New Year's Eve. Today we have Matt Reed and Stefan Filial. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Are you fan enough?
Get loud and let's get proud. We got a game to play. Game on. Let's play ball. There won't be a better time to give it our all. Stand tall. Let's get it on. I know you hear that cry. They're about to get loud. It's game on.
Joe Fan Show's brought to you by the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center with locations in both Henderson and on the west side. Dr. John Petrick and his dedicated staff are committed to helping you lead a pain-free life. Visit them at lvprc.com and take the first step toward feeling great. Clayton Hamilton here on a beautiful Saturday morning in fabulous Las Vegas. Going to go out to Oakland, California, and welcome in Matt Reed. Welcome, Matt.
Hey, Clayton. Good to be here.
Good to talk to you, man. How about that Matt Adams, huh? 20 home runs, 65 RBIs get you $4 million these days.
Gotta love it, right?
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. It goes to show that if you can hit the ball a little bit, you'll probably always find a place to land.
Kind of makes you want to go back and be 12 again, right, and take T-ball a little more seriously.
Makes me wish I was 6'6". 250 like Matt Adams also.
Yeah, that certainly doesn't hurt. Also, Matt, game day today, Vegas Golden Knights welcoming in Alex Ovechkin, TJ Oshie, and the Washington Capitals to T-Mobile Arena tonight. Pregame at 4:30, puck drop at 5.
Yeah, should be fun. First time the Caps are in town. Every year we talk about the Caps going to the Stanley Cup, and it still hasn't happened. And is this going to be the year that they make a run again, or are they going to fall short?
They've played a lot better than I think most people have thought that they would. Everyone sort of felt like they're going to take a step back this year, but so far so good for the Capitals. It was a little creepy, though, Matt. I was at practice yesterday, and as you know, Nate Schmidt, the defenseman, he came over from the Capitals in the expansion draft, and there were a whole slew of Washington Capitol fans at Golden Knights practice, and every one of them brought a Nate Schmidt mask.
Wow.
With the eye holes cut out and the mohawk, and there was like a whole section, like 20-something Nate Schmidts staring at him, and it was a little creepy.
That's totally creepy. Obviously a fan favorite in Washington. I hope he has the same following there in Las Vegas.
He certainly does. We get Twitters all the time. Can you please send Nate Schmidt back? People love him, but he had a good time with it. Came over to the crowd, took a little picture with it, enjoyed it. But the guys were giving him a pretty good ribbing on the bench.
Yeah, how about that great win over Tampa, too? I mean, every week you say, all right, maybe they're going to take a step back. Everyone says they're still an expansion team, this, that, and the other. I mean, just big win after big win. It's fantastic. I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
At some point, people are going to have to realize that they're good because they always have another test. Oh, well, we'll see when Marc-Andre Fleury gets back, and we'll see when they face the defending Stanley Cup champions in Pittsburgh, and they beat them. And they said, oh, well, we'll see, you know, Gerard Gallant's going to see his old team. We'll see when they play Florida, and they beat them. And, oh, well, we're going to see when Tampa comes in. They beat them. Oh, we're going to see when they go on the road and they have to play Nashville and Dallas. And they went to Nashville and beat them. And they went to Dallas and beat them. So another test tonight. But if they get by this one, you've got to, on a national level, start talking about this team as a national story.
100%. I mean, it's fantastic.
Well, always a national story and a national treasure. Stefan Filial in the house today. And Stefan joining us, Matt, for a little all-basketball Saturday morning. And he said he was willing and able to work an entire hour today.
Boy, that a baby. When it's the NBA, Stefan wakes up, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you talking NBA, that's like my morning coffee.
And this is really getting to be the big time of year, because Christmas Day coming up, and that's when the NBA starts for a majority of fans. For you, it starts in preseason, but for everybody else, it starts when Mariah Carey starts singing and the promos start running, and a 5-game deep slate of basketball games on Monday.
Man, those Christmas games, those are rivalry games. That's like rivalry week for college, I guess you would say. And it's a time when everybody can sit around the Christmas tree after opening presents and get into some competitive basketball. Yeah.
And a return of the Boston Celtics to Christmas Day, along with Washington, which I'm pretty happy about, because I feel like Washington has been underserved in the past couple of years nationally. So it's nice to see Boston and Washington get together.
Yeah, well, I mean, as far as the Wizards though go, I would say maybe last year would have been a better year. They just lost, I believe it was the Brooklyn Nets. They're definitely going to they're going to play big. They usually play big on big nights. So it'll definitely be an entertaining game. We'll see what the Celtics do. They just lost to the Knicks, those guys going against each other with a point guard matchup like that with John Wall and Kyrie. Maybe the Celtics can find themselves against the Wizards, or maybe this is the game that'll lead each team into a great spurt going into the new year.
Celtics, Matt, coming into this one, they have lost 4 of the last 7, including a 23-point drubbing to the Bulls, but they're still sitting at 26-9. Are people in Boston pushing the panic button too soon?
I mean, they are, because you have a team that's 26-9, and you went out and you signed Gordon Hayward to that huge contract, and he's played all of 5 minutes for you. So the fact that you are 26-9 losing, probably you're one of the biggest free agents that was out there, I think that's a huge deal. And yeah, their wins have been tight, and they pulled one out against Indiana the other night out of nowhere on a nice steal by Rozier and a dunk. But it's too early to panic. You're a good team. You play solid defense. I think you're getting a lot out of Kyrie right now. Yeah, you have to worry about Tatum. Being a rookie, falling off a little bit in the second half. Jaylen Brown has played really well, but I think your bench is okay, and there is still a possibility of getting Hayward back for the playoffs, so too early to panic.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Jaylen Brown. He's definitely in the running for most improved player in my eyes, but I think they have a legit concern here, honestly, because the beginning of the year when Gordon Hayward went down, they really surprised a lot of people in the start that they've had. But I think because he's gone down, and because their injury situation is so iffy and they haven't had time together, it's like going forward, basketball, let me say this, basketball is all about runs, like whether you're playing the game, whether it's in the season. And right now, it's like, well, maybe we got all the good stuff out early. Maybe we got our wins early. We caught people off guard, but people are starting to catch on now. They're starting to game plan better, and the injuries don't help.
Yeah, so I think they're a little shaken up on what's next, because they don't really know what to expect now because of these last losses. If you would have told me that they played the Knicks, they lost to the Knicks, but Porzingis shot 0-for-11 and they still won, that's a legit concern. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you've got all your guys there.
Yeah, that was the Knicks game. For as surprising as the Bulls game was, Matt, the Knicks game may be a little bit more surprising to me, because, you know, every once in a while you just get that game where you want to throw the whole game film out, and for me that was the Bulls game. But for them to let the Knicks game slip away like that, that is a little bit alarming.
It is. I mean, it's definitely, you know, something you have to worry about. But I think throughout the season, especially this time of year, you're going to run into some lulls where, you know, guys aren't completely healthy. The season catches up with you a little bit, and, you know, and Michael Beasley shows up out of nowhere. So, I mean, a lot of factors to play in there. And yeah, if we continue to see losses like this that creep into January and February, I'd be a lot more concerned. But at some point in the year, a lot of teams go through this. Even the best teams will go through this, where you'll see some bad losses and be like, really? So, to me, no concern still.
Let's skip ahead to the Knicks, 17-15. Is this Knicks team a playoff team?
I think so. I mean, honestly, just looking at the East, right now, they're tied with the Wizards. And the bottom of the East is gonna jump around all year, and I mean they're young guys, and their role players are coming through. Like we talked about Michael Beasley last week, where he's actually in a position where he doesn't have to be the face, like he doesn't have to be that guy, so he can actually flourish. He's probably been one of the most surprises to me this year, because he's being efficient. And he's coming off the bench. Ever since he's come off the bench, he's played well. But the Knicks and their competition in the East is, I mean, you know, it's a two, maybe three top heavy team conference, and so yeah, they definitely have a chance. And I think they'll be right there all year, especially as Porzingis gets back and he gets more healthy.
When you look at those teams kind of hovering at the bottom half of the table there, Matt, and you see Detroit and you see Miami, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, I think we all would think that Washington at some point is going to play better. Indiana, probably a better team than Miami, Philly, Brooklyn. Are the Knicks better than that lot?
Ooh. I mean, the way they're playing right now, they're in there as far as is at least being able to compete. Come the end of the season, like you said, the Wizards, we saw this from them last year where they were terrible in the first half and really turned on in the second half. Miami, I think they're a team that, you know, dealing with a lot of injuries right now. Once they're completely healthy, I think they're a better team. Same with Indiana. But the Knicks are going to compete, and Porzingis has to stay on the floor for them to do it. I mean, they're getting great production out of Jarrett Jack right now. I don't know how long that's going to last for. Courtney Lee's playing well. O'Quinn off the bench. So their team's okay, but I would say if they are going to make it, it's going to be as a 7 or 8. They're not going to bounce above any of those other teams, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll take 7 or 8. But last year I feel like Washington was – they played around 4 or 5th most of the year. So I don't know what's going on with them. Maybe they're getting too comfortable. New York, though, it just seems like they're on a consistent rise right now. They're feeding off of their own wins or competitiveness, and they're essentially the Lakers of the East right now, where they have all these young guys, they have a bunch of role players, but they've got something that the Lakers don't have, is that one major star who's seasoned in the league right now, and I think that could possibly carry them into the playoffs.
Matt, the answer is forever. when the question of how long will Jarrett Jack produce? Because that's all. Every year we have this conversation. I mean, how long have we been doing this, Matt? Like almost 4 or 5 years. And what do we always say? Well, how is Jarrett Jack still producing? And yet he is.
It's amazing. It is amazing.
You know, it's because, well, I mean, he's got the vet game. You know, he knows how to control the pace of the game. Remember, he was over there with the Warriors before, you know, when they actually started becoming the Warriors, quote unquote. And he had him having that mid-range jumper opens up so much for the rest of the team. Like, that's a lost art in this league these days because everybody's shooting threes or just taking it straight to the hole. Having that mid-range game, especially for a point guard of his caliber, can open up so many passing lanes. And I think that's definitely key in execution, especially in the half court.
You touched a little bit on the Pacers. Let's look at them a little bit more in detail. Victor Oladipo has been a nice addition to them, averaging 24.8 points per game, about 21 minutes or so, 43% from the three-point line, which is a nice good season. But is it really a nice good season at $21 million a year?
Oh. Yeah, man. Hey, look, they gave up Paul George. They needed somebody to step in and do something big for them. I mean, they have Lance, but Oladipo, he's a different kind of beast. Like, he was coming up a few years ago before he even got traded to the Thunder. He was holding his own down there in Orlando. He was kind of their baby in Orlando, aside from Vucevic. Nikola, I can say his first name, but yeah, he's definitely an explosive player. He's Westbrook like, as far as energy goes and his finishing capabilities. And you know, I think he's comfortable in that role, where you need him to go ahead and drive the car. And so, why not? I'm not too sure how long the contract is, though. Mm-hmm. I think that might play more into how much it is this year. Because they're getting what they paid for this year.
You got to like yeah. – go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, in 3 years, you're going to think $21 million is a gift because they're nowhere near as good as they are right now without Oladipo. Yeah. I think he's having the best season of his career by far. I mean, he's turned into a legit – you know, down the stretch, put the ball in his hands, he's going to make plays. Like, I've been so impressed with Oladipo this year. And if you look at it now, what OKC is able to get in return for Paul George, when everyone knew Paul George wanted out, to get a player of Oladipo's caliber, he should be a starter in the All-Star game this year.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that, but then they could have had, like, Jordan Clarkson and Julius Randle. And I mean, I think that two-man tandem would have trumped that the Oladipo situation. But I've been surprised at how because going into the season after Paul George left, they were ready to hand this over to Miles Turner, and Oladipo came in and he's like, "Yo, this is how we're doing things."
But can you really, in these times, turn a franchise over to a player that is the type of Miles Turner, or will he always be an ancillary player and need somebody like Victor Oladipo to drive the bus?
Well, the way he was playing last year, I thought he could be that guy, kind of like that, like how Minnesota looks at Cat. But excuse me, but yeah, his efficiency, like to start the year, wasn't all there. But yeah, he could stretch the floor. He plays defense, and he was a beast in the post, and he can rebound with the best of them. So I thought handing them to him was a pretty good move. But yeah, a guy like that, usually you're better off with a 1-2 punch.
Mm-hmm. Matt, pretty big game for the Clippers last night. They got a 128-118 victory, and a lot of talk about Doc Rivers and whether or not he should survive the season. What are your thoughts on old Doc with the Clippers out of the old playoff picture right now?
I mean, I'm surprised Doc has lasted as long as he's lasted there. I think for as much talent as they've had, that they've underachieved, especially, you know, not making it out of the second round of the playoffs. But I mean, you look at this year, The Clippers are, you know, I heard last night on the telecast that they might be the most snake-bit team out there. I mean, every year there's some major injuries. Look at all the injuries. Look who they're playing with yesterday, you know. No Blake Griffin, no Teodosic, you know. You're getting guys like Juwan Evans having huge games off the bench, and you know, guys out of nowhere, and Austin Rivers really kind of finding his own stride now, and Lou Williams. That was a great win yesterday, and as much as I think Doc eventually is going to have to go, I mean, he gets a pass every year because it seems like their best guys are hurt every year. So right now his best guys are hurt, but they're still hanging in there, and yeah, I want to see this team for a month or two fully healthy and see what he gets out of them before it's time for him to go.
Yeah, if Clipper Darryl's calling for your job, it's probably time to go if you're a Clipper coach. I think they're going to let him go just before they build this new stadium for the Clippers. I think they're going to try to start fresh. I mean, he's got a dual role. You know, he's GM and coach. He kind of handed over the GM role a little bit more, and I mean, we actually thought that this team would do a lot better since bringing in Jerry West as a consultant. We know what that really means. But it's been disappointing. I mean, Teodosic has been in and out. Like Matt said, the injuries always plagued this team. I mean, it's the Clipper curse. I hate to say it, but it is. And even JJ Redick, before he left, he spoke about it. Chris Paul has spoken about it. There is an aura in that organization that just isn't right, and it just doesn't work out.
Yeah, you've seen Teodosic never really have any problems.
Yeah, until he shows up. There. I mean, my gosh, this guy's like an Iron Man.
Yeah, it's those Clippers.
He's played 7 games this year. I mean,
you know what?
It's all you need to know.
Forget about a new arena in LA. I think you're right. They should pack up and move and come to fabulous Las Vegas and start anew.
Oh, don't do that.
The LA Clippers right here. Fabulous Las Vegas.
Vegas.
I love it.
Clippers?
I love it.
I don't want them here.
Yeah, I do. I'm all about it. When we get back, we're going to continue on an all-basketball Saturday and look at some of the rookies off to really good starts in the NBA. We're going to be joined by Matt Reed, Stephon Filial, Clayton Hamilton, breaking it down for you on the other side of the break. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio, 920 The Game.
Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Joe Fan Show and on the web at joefanshow.com.
For live interaction and sports chat, follow Clayton on Twitter at Clayton_JoeFan.
Limited mobility, stress, pain. These are things we don't have to learn to live with. The Las Vegas Pain Relief Center will get you started on taking an active approach to your health. Dr. John Petrick and his dedicated team have been serving our community for more than a decade to help Las Vegans resolve their pain and perform at their very best. Through the use of active relief techniques, they can treat the cause of your pain instead of just chasing the symptoms. Visit their website at LasVegasPainReliefCenter.com or call them at 702-948-2520 to learn more about chiropractic, corrective patterning, personal training, and massage therapies used by professional athletes. LasVegasPainReliefCenter.com. Don't settle for feeling good when you can feel great.
Welcome back to the Joe Fan Show. A beautiful Saturday morning. Clayton Hamilton here in Las Vegas along with Stephon Filial in studio and Matt Reed out in Oakland, California. And fellas, this was a year of the rookie. We had some holdovers from last year. Ben Simmons, who did not play, getting underway his rookie season this year. Also, Jason Tatum. I've seen Kyle Kuzma. All the focus, of course, on Lonzo Ball. But a lot of good rookies. Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
So when you look around the league, Stephon, who has impressed you as the best rookie right now?
Oh, Kyle Kuzma, hands down. I think that's everybody's answer, to be honest, because nobody saw this coming. I was excited when the Lakers got him. You know, anytime there's a draft or anything, and I dive deep into, you know, like Draft Express. I drive hard. But I didn't see him shooting this efficiently, regardless of what time of the year it is. Early, of course, he's going to hit that rookie wall at some point. But yeah, Walton can't. He put him in the starting lineup. It's like he can't take him off the floor. He can't because of the productivity that he's playing with.
I disagree with you slightly that no one saw this coming, because Matt, you have been talking about Kyle Kuzma all throughout his Utah years, but did you think he would be this good as a pro this soon?
This good this soon? No. I mean, like Stephon said, I don't think anyone really saw what he's done the last 2 weeks, especially. Anyone saw this coming, but I think we got a great glimpse of it in the summer league, is that, you know, everyone was talking about Lonzo Ball, and then you watch the summer league games, and Kuzma was the guy that really stood out. And they're like, wow, you know, maybe this guy will be productive for them this year, but the production he's giving them is above and beyond. So, yeah, you know, we talk about, you know, the Lakers needing to build and build around Lonzo Ball. Well, you know, Ball, I think, has been solid the last couple weeks, especially, too, but I mean, this is a team that you might be building around Kyle Kuzma, because he's been that good.
I don't know. I don't think you – a player like him, you slide him into a good situation. I don't think you can necessarily build around a guy like that, because I think it's a 1-2 thing where you have to have a guy like Lonzo throwing them the ball, especially in a system like this, because the ball moves. But this kid's got all the weapons. He's got the footwork down. When you can go from a 3-point shot to a running sky hook, you know, and shoot it efficiently, like I've seen him do a running sky hook almost every other game this year, and it's very encouraging. It's kind of scary, because some of the shots he was taking, the big shots that he's making, it took me to some flashbacks, some Kobe Bryant stuff, man. Like, Kobe came in at an 18, he was extremely young, but Kuzma, he's seasoned in college, and he's 22. So I think he's about where Kobe was in his third year or something. I mean, he's almost averaging 20 points a game. this guy can ball, man. He's just got defense will come, though. I think once the defense is there, then we're talking all-star year next year, actually.
So he's a Kobe 8, not a Kobe 24?
No, I think he's more of a Kobe 24, because he's got more of an old man's game, whereas Kobe 8 relied on a lot of athleticism. Mm-hmm. I think Kuzma picks his spots better than a Kobe 8, because Kobe 8 was just, you know, just hyperactive and all over the place, thinking he's going to win everything. And so Kyle Kuzma, he's got a little more perspective on things.
Kobe 8 also had kind of
call him the 16.
Yeah.
You say call him the 16?
Yeah.
Nice.
Hey, you know what? Sorry. As good of a year as he's having, he's still not going to win Rookie of the Year.
Oh, I don't know about that. Well, you think Ben Simmons? Why? Because Ben Simmons? Yeah,
because of Ben Simmons, exactly.
When you look long-term, Matt, who is the rookie that you think is going to be best long-term?
Ben Simmons, especially if he could develop any kind of jump shot. I mean, his skill set, he just does everything, and he's a guy that, you know, you could put in any kind of situation, and a guy that, you know, if you need an on-ball defender, you could put him on a point guard, you could put him on a small forward, you could put him on a big. I mean, he's got good enough size. He just does enough of everything to be a guy that, you know, we talk about building a franchise around him and Embiid. If they keep those two guys together with whatever they could put around them, I mean, so Philadelphia's going to be good.
I think go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think there's more of a question with him, though, because of Markelle Fultz. They have Markelle Fultz there. I don't know if he can play off ball as much as they want him to. But yeah, his game does kind of remind me of an early Magic Johnson, an early LeBron James, because they get other guys involved, and he's athletic. He's more athletic than a Magic Johnson, you know. So he can get up and down, but I think he's more of a better off-ball defender than he is an on-ball defender, to be honest. He is long, he's strong, and he's pretty tall. He's about, oh man, they say he grew to about 7 feet this year in the offseason because he's still growing. But that shot, we'll see what he can do with that shot. In the offseason, he looked good when I'm watching him doing workouts and everything, but yeah, I don't know. I think that franchise has more question marks than say the Lakers. I mean, with Alonzo Ball, I think Lonzo is going to be a more of a long-term solution, a long-term rookie, because I mean, like we said, his shot is starting to fall now. He's feeling more comfortable, and I feel like his reads and what he does outside behind the arc, I think it's going to have more of an effect on the game than Ben Simmons. I would just, honestly, I would play off him, but you can definitely tell. I remember all the skepticism that they were having with his alertness and him being engaged in games with LSU. I mean, we can see now that it was just an LSU thing. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, he's going to have a great career. I mean, just the competitive side of me, I don't really like seeing them be as successful.
So you would say you would rather be the Lakers long-term than the Sixers. Matt, what about you?
No, I'd rather be the Sixers long-term, especially if Fultz comes in and gives them anything. I mean, we don't know enough from him yet to see what he's going to get them. And I think when they drafted Fultz, it's because they hadn't seen Simmons and what Simmons had done. And now we know how well he plays with the ball in his hands, where I think they could turn Fultz into an off-the-ball guy. So I think Philadelphia, and with Joel Embiid being the main piece of all of that, I mean, I think he's one of the best young centers in the NBA, maybe one of the best centers overall in the NBA. And, I mean, if his game continues to grow along with Simmons and Fultz and Covington and whatever pieces you're going to add around it, I think that's team that I'd rather be right now. And they play in the East, and I think the West is still going to be stronger for the next few years.
And that's honestly the reason you gave for holding on to them is the reason why I can't, because Embiid is so questionable. Like, they're talking about him now, like, not playing as many minutes because he keeps getting these nagging injuries to where he can't play. And you, when you talk about long term, how do you build off of that? How do you build off a player like that if you don't know he's going to be there? I mean, they did it in the past because, they weren't even really building. They were kind of just holding on to players and losing. Like, now if they're trying to win, it doesn't really go in the right direction for your organization when you've got your best player. You don't know if he's going to play or not. You've got JJ Redick there. Who knows how long he's going to be there? The only upside right now is Ben Simmons. I mean, Embiid is playing extremely well, and yeah, I'd go down to say that yeah, if he's not the best center in the league right now, he's one of the best for sure. But when you talk long term, you've got to have a guy that's consistently on the floor and somebody that you can truly build a team around, because you can't build a team around a guy that's not going to be there.
So Matt, do you feel like there's still more steps in the process?
Yeah, you know, the process is never going to be ending. They're always going to be adding to it, but in this day in the NBA, as long as you get your wins and get to the playoffs, that's all that matters. So I think the whole point of the process is keeping him healthy to get into the playoffs. So, you know, I'm not going to, you know, if in 3 years, if we're still seeing him play, 28 minutes a game and missing games here and there, then I'm going to say it's a bigger concern. But I think, you know, they handle all these players with kid gloves now. So, yeah, the process will always be ongoing. They're going to continue to add pieces. And who knows? The biggest piece could be LeBron. There's still always talk. If LeBron ended up on that team, what would happen to that team?
I don't know. I mean, he's developed his three-point shot to, like, vet level. So, you know, like, the old man game, he's bringing that in. But I don't see LeBron playing off ball, and Ben Simmons is not a shooter. So, and they pretty much do the same thing. As far as chemistry goes, I don't like it. Yeah, they could move the ball around, and they'd be smart players. But at the same time, when it comes down to it in the playoffs, they're gonna hone in on your weaknesses for sure.
And if there's any organization that is Eastern snake bit like the Clippers are Western, it would be the 76ers, and you would imagine that LeBron would just show up and rip an Achilles, because that's what happens. That's how it rolls in Philadelphia. When we come back, we're going to take a look at a team in the West that thinks it's their time to knock off the Golden State Warriors. Listening to the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game.
Music provided by country sensation Buckstein. For albums, tour dates, and merchandise, check them out at Buckstein.net.
Knock pain out at the source. Dr. John Petrick of the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center has been caring for the best combat athletes in the world for the past 14 seasons on the hit reality series The Ultimate Fighter. Unfortunately, pain doesn't just happen in the octagon. If you suffer from headaches, neck pain, shoulder injuries, carpal tunnel, back spasms, hip and knee pain, disc problems, and nerve-related issues, the dedicated team at the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center in Henderson uses the same active release techniques on you that target the cause of pain instead of just chasing the symptoms. Dr. Petrick will have you feeling like a champion and ready to tackle whatever confronts you in the octagon of life. Visit Dr. Petrick at LasVegasPainReliefCenter.com or call 702-948-2520 to set up an appointment. Don't settle for feeling good when you can feel great.
Looking for a high-quality wood bat for your summer league game?
Want to make a home run impression at your next award presentation? Visit PhoenixBats.com.
Phoenix Bats has been proudly crafting premium game bats and award bats right here in the USA since 1996.
Approved for use by players in major and minor leagues since 2000, each and every Phoenix bat meets the same high standards for wood quality.
This ain't no big box sports store bat, it's a Phoenix bat.
Get yours at PhoenixBats.com. Welcome back to the Joe Fan Show. It's brought to you by the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center with locations in both Henderson and on the west side. Dr. John Petrick and his dedicated staff are committed to helping you lead a pain-free life. Visit them at lvprc.com and take the first step toward feeling great. Clayton Hamilton and Stefan Filial in Las Vegas. Matt Reed out in Oakland, California on a basketball Saturday. And fellas, the old Houston Rockets have been a little bit of the talk of the West, that they collected all of these pieces in the offseason. They were going to put them together. Chris Paul III arriving into town. They got better by shipping Dwight Howard out of town.
Oh, what team doesn't?
Exactly. That's a great recipe for success. And they've had some. Quite a bit of it ran into the buzzsaw that is the Los Angeles Clippers last night and dropped one. But they have been impressive this year. James Harden had a little difficulty in the final few minutes. 2 points, a couple turnovers, three fouls.
Yeah.
But you know, all things considered, a good season thus far for the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, I think he was having too much fun with the refs the other night. But, yeah, that's an ugly loss, especially against an injured Clippers team.
At home.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, that kind of diminishes the Lakers win a little bit, But, yeah, Houston has a problem right now, and they're looking to bounce back. They've got their pieces. I mean, even without CP3, they've still got a solid team. D'Antoni, I blame a couple of these losses on D'Antoni, because especially the Clippers one, because usually he runs with maybe a nine-man rotation or whatever. Mbah Moudeh didn't see any time. Like, you've got to play your wing players, especially the way that you're playing, and you've got older guys. You've got Trevor Ariza. Why is he playing, like, 30-plus, 40 minutes? You know, that just should not happen. And I think these guys are getting a little worn out. James Harden is pushing the game with CP3 out, and I mean, it's early in the year, and these are veterans, so they shouldn't be too tired. I mean, they should know how to play, but right now, I don't know. It's kind of caught people off guard because starting the season, they definitely took off.
And you would think, Matt, that this team was put together not necessarily to win in the regular season, but a team that was put together that could beat the Warriors. Is that roster come to fruition? Is this a team that can beat the Warriors?
Beat the Warriors, I'm not sure. Compete with the Warriors, definitely. I mean, yesterday they were playing without Chris Paul, who we've seen what Chris Paul really adds to this team, and he is the engine right now, and the facilitator and the lockdown defender and everything you need, Chris Paul's giving you. I mean, they were banged up yesterday. No Chris Paul, no Capella. Mbamute was hurt. I mean, they had eight guys that could basically play. So I think that's a reason. I mean, they're a little tired yesterday, but this team, Capella has to keep getting better, which he is. I think he's improving year in and year out. I think he's gotten better. Ariza has to give them something, and they got to get stuff out of Ryan Anderson. I mean, that's the guy. When he's scoring and he can really draw the defense away, especially the big away from the basket, I think that really gives them an advantage. But he's struggled a lot lately, so they're going to need him to continue to score, because I think Eric Gordon's playing well. He's scoring the basketball. Harden's always going to be able to score. I mean, I guess the question with this team is, we know they can score. Will they be able to defend it down the stretch? And I mean, they gave up 76 points to the Clippers second half yesterday.
Well, I think if they're healthy, they can definitely defend. I mean, they've got the tandem of Trevor Ariza. PJ Tucker is a good wing defender. Eric Gordon's pretty decent. It's just when they go small, I think they struggle with their help side defense and their bigs coming through. They really miss Capella on that weak side. And beginning of the year, that's where he was getting a lot of his blocks, and that's where they were getting a lot of their stops and runouts. And so I think that's going to be an issue. Ryan Anderson he definitely has to produce. I feel like he's an X factor. Trevor Ariza's shooting he's doing his part. But like you said, Eric Gordon, he's doing his thing. Ryan Anderson, he's got to be efficient, and he's got to be effective to be able to stretch the floor. And that allows them to go small, mm-hmm. You know? And so, I mean, if that's not working, then the whole system gets thrown off. I mean, you're going to have games where James Harden scoring 50, 51, and they're still losing.
And that is, to me, what's troubling when you match them sort of player for player against Golden State, is that Golden State is so good at ball movement and swinging from, you know, to the weak side of the defense. Mm-hmm. And whether or not there's anybody other than Trevor Ariza with any kind of length that can cause a problem for the three-point shooter on the offside. And Trevor Ariza is old, and he's got X amount of minutes. And how do you defend that? Because you have to build and play this team with the sole purpose of trying to beat Golden State.
Right. And real quick, Matt, the length is there. And Luke Mbamute, he's been having a great year. He's known as a defender, but he's been hitting that 3-point shot consistently. He's probably one of their most consistent 3-point shooters on that team. And that's a little bit of a surprise. But you've got guys that you can rotate and put on a Steph Curry, on a Kevin Durant, on a Klay Thompson, who can also knock down shots in Mbamute and Trevor Ariza and PJ Tucker. And then you've got a guy at the point guard position. Remember, I said if healthy, with Chris Paul. And so they can compete. I think they could beat them four times. I don't know. We'll have to see about that.
Have you been surprised, Matt, at how well Chris Paul has fit into this team? It seems like since he came back from the injury that he's been more effective.
No, I'm not surprised. Chris Paul is going to go down as a Hall of Famer. And I think, you know, when he came into the Clippers, he really, you know, brought that team to a whole new level. And you know, Houston was good last year, but I think a lot of that had to do with just the amazing year that Harden had last year. You know, D'Antoni's style and the way they would score points, that you know, you bring a guy in like Chris Paul who is a veteran, who can play defense, who can facilitate, and when you got shooters all over the floor, it's a perfect scenario for him. So, yeah, I'm not surprised at all that he came in and had an immediate impact. And, like, yeah, if they have any chance to win the West, it's going to be with Chris Paul.
Yeah, he plays that Sean Livingston role as far as getting the ball inside the paint and being able to dominate the mid-range game. And I, like I mentioned earlier, that's going to be a big part, especially in the playoffs. I hate the Clippers because they stole the best years of Chris Paul's life. he was supposed to be ours, but one more thing, James Harden, he should be hands down MVP this year.
Yeah, certainly playing at that clip thus far. What did you think about Daryl Morey, the general manager of Houston, talking about how everything they do is with the sole purpose of beating Golden State? He's like, came out and sort of said, we're basically obsessed with trying to beat them. You usually don't hear that from general managers. They usually sort of take the politically correct coach speak, but not so with this. Do you like that, him putting his team on blast?
Yeah, I mean, they're the champs, and they're consistent. But if he better be careful, because if he's just keeps his eye on the Warriors, somebody else is going to pass him by. He just needs to – I mean, I get it. They're the champs, and the way the game is played these days, yeah, of course you want to be able to compete with them and beat them because you feel like you're on top. But the game changes quick, and he's just got to –
and that's what happened to them last year, Matt, when they let San Antonio sneak by them in the playoffs and never even got that shot at Golden State.
Yeah, I think they everyone thought that they would beat San Antonio, especially after San Antonio had the injuries, and it didn't really seem to matter that San Antonio, that's a veteran team that got it done. So, I mean, yeah, Golden State's been the Golden State, the gold standard in the West for the last 5 years now. So, yeah, if you are a team in the West, I mean, I think that's who you're looking at. And, yeah, right now, I mean, the way they're built, they're going to be good for the next few years. So if you want to win the West, it goes through Golden State. And I think, you know, if you're building your team, that's how you have to build it the next few years.
And he's not the only one. I mean, clearly there a lot of the teams in the West are trying to get to that point to where they can play that small ball and keep guys moving, keep the ball moving, but play good defense at that, because you know, the best the past few years, the Warriors have been at their best when they're top at defense, and I think a lot of organizations forget that fact.
Mm-hmm. Remember what Ric Flair said, right?
Woo.
Said, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they'll be competitive. I don't think you can match them that way. Before these last few games, I saw the Rockets like going to the finals. I really liked them. But I'm starting to see a lot of holes when they go small, and you've got to be able to do both.
Right. And Golden State has had some guys in and out of the lineup, Matt, this year, and they haven't missed a beat.
Yeah.
Yeah, every year up here, I think fans are spoiled now. Because remember, Golden State used to be the laughing stock. For a long time, the Warriors were terrible. So,
yeah.
I think everyone's enjoying it up here a lot. And yeah, Curry goes down, it doesn't matter. You have Durant, you have Clay, you have Draymond. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And I'll tell you what, they went out and bought Jordan Bell from Portland. You know, Portland sold their pick to the Clippers for $3 million, whatever. Look how good Jordan Bell is. Jordan Bell's going to be the next Draymond. And, I mean, that's just what – when you're hot, you're hot. And that's what Golden State's doing right now.
Yeah, we'll see. He's still young. That IQ's there, but the maturity,
did you see what he did
to
the Lakers yesterday?
Yeah, I know. That's great. That's all good and dandy, man. I'm not going to have a Laker-Warrior battle with you right now.
At least,
no, I'm not talking about battle. But I mean, this is a guy they went out and bought from the second round of the draft. You know, Draymond, second-round guy. They're finding guys in the second round who are fantastic.
He shouldn't have been second round, first of all. I wanted him on the Lakers, to be honest. I mean, I honestly liked Kuzma, but I wanted Jordan Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like he had a higher upside. I loved his energy and his defensive capabilities. And, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I'm definitely a fan of Jordan Bell.
At least last night they went back to the old school logo with the whole state of California on it and stopped wearing that ridiculous jersey that says the city.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, politically correct.
So dumb. Anyway, when we come back, a little Q&A time. More basketball questions for you on a basketball Saturday. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio, 920 The Game.
Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Joe Fan Show and on the web at joefanshow.com.
The Las Vegas Pain Relief Center in Henderson. Are you suffering from back, hip, neck, or knee pain? Dr. John Petrick and the team at the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center are ready to help you move more freely and feel better. Want to get your golf swing back? Improve your tennis serve? Be able to catch that grounder that got between your legs. Visit LasVegasPainReliefCenter.com to take the first step toward a pain-free day. The Las Vegas Pain Relief Center, 702-948-2520. Don't settle for feeling good when you could feel great.
Welcome back to the Joe Fan Show. It's time for Q&A. Remember, if you'd like to send us a question, just email us to submissions@joefanshow.com or tweet us at Joe Fan Show. Clayton Hamilton, Stefan Filial here in Las Vegas, Matt Reed out in Oakland, California. Time for a little Q&A. Phil in Las Vegas asks, who do you like today, Kentucky or UCLA? Hashtag holiday hoops.
I tried to beat Kentucky last week with Virginia Tech, who gave them a game. But, you know, UCLA hasn't beat anybody. Kentucky seems like they're finding their stride, and, they're averaging almost 90 points a game over the last five. So, I think Kentucky, a little revenge from last year when UCLA went and beat them in Rupp. I think Kentucky handles UCLA today.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have any doubts about Kentucky winning today. Man, UCLA has already been through so much. I think Kentucky, they're already polished. I think they're ready to go.
Matt, would it be fair to say that both Kentucky and UCLA have been underwhelming?
Huh. It definitely is fair to say that, UCLA especially. But Kentucky, I think maybe it just took them a few weeks to get into stride. I think they do look better now. But they definitely started out the season looking like a team that, you know, wasn't the same Kentucky team we're used to seeing.
And would it be fair for me to say that UCLA has been more underwhelming than Kentucky, and therefore they lose today?
Yeah, I would say so.
Teddy in Las Vegas asks, who has the best chance to knock off Duke in North Carolina and win the ACC title this year? Hashtag breaking the chalk.
I mean, the ACC is always probably the best conference, I would say, in college basketball. And this year, especially teams like Virginia Tech, who people don't know a lot about, are really good. Florida State, Clemson. I mean, there's a lot of good teams out there. But Miami, that's the team, I think, that, you know, with Jaquan Newton and DeJuan Well, I think they're a team that no one really is paying a lot of attention to. And I think they're a team that can sneak in and possibly, if it's not going to be Duke or Carolina, Miami might have a chance to be that team.
Man, I think it's pretty open right now, for me, because I mean, neither team, I feel like, just as we were talking about UCLA and, mm-hmm. and Kentucky, I feel like both teams have been underwhelming. And yeah, I mean, man, I don't know. I'm really interested in seeing how it's going to be, come tournament time, because I think we're going to have a lot of upsets this year.
Wow. It took you like 30 seconds to not pick a team.
I know. I can't pick a team. I don't.
I'm going to go Virginia. And the reason I'm going Virginia, Matt, is because it is a regular season. And they are good at the regular season, not so good at the tournament. But I think if anybody can get it done, Matt, in regular season, it's going to be a team like Virginia, maybe not built for tournament play.
Yeah, you know what? You might be 100% on some there. Clayton, for a lot of people that haven't been watching college basketball because it has been football season, there hasn't been a lot of attention paid to it, Oklahoma, watch the freshman, Trey Young. He leads the nation in scoring and assists. It's never happened ever in the history of college basketball. This kid can play. I mean, watch Oklahoma this year.
And everybody loves Lon Kruger, so you like to see him have a little bit of success. Thank you for joining us on this Saturday morning. For Stefan Filial and for Matt Reed, this has been Clayton Hamilton. You've been listening to the Joe Fan Show on NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. Enjoy your Christmas holiday and enjoy the games.